On June 21st, Gail Samuel officially became the first female president and chief executive officer of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, the eighth in the organization's 140-year history.
Having helped establish the Los Angeles Philharmonic as one of the world's most successful and publicly engaged symphony orchestras, Samuel now looks to carry on the BSO's mission of connecting classical music with community.
She now leads the Symphony Orchestra, the Boston Pops, and Tanglewood, and will oversee a number of initiatives that will expand the reach and relevance of orchestral music in the Boston area, the Berkshires, and of course, beyond. It is a great pleasure to welcome Gail Samuel to our traveling roundtable. A delight to meet you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here with you.
It's so weird because we've been here for so long, and then to welcome, you know, the new boss.
It's weird for me too.
How's it going? It's only been a matter of days, really, like a few weeks. And so how goes it?
It goes busy and wet.
Yes, been very wet.
You know, it's a lot. It's a lot to come into an organization and meet everybody at the same time, but it's also really thrilling, and everybody has been tremendously welcoming and wonderful, and I really couldn't ask for more support.
Well, it's great to have you here, and we've all been anticipating it and getting to see you and the rest. You do have a wonderful staff who have been so good to us over the years and keeping us going, and thinking particularly of our Bernadette, who chooses you know, praise, but we've been very lucky to have all these people.
Well, and what I'm very rapidly finding is that it's an incredibly devoted and committed staff. I mean, everybody who works here loves this organization and cares so deeply about it, which is wonderful to come into.
So let's talk a little bit about your background. Obviously, I had mentioned in the introduction of the Los Angeles Philharmonic and, of course, the Hollywood Bowl. So when did Tanglewood ever come on your radar?
Yes, I actually worked at Tanglewood very, very early in my career for a couple of years, which was preceded by my first visit here, which was in 1986, and I was actually on a road trip with my family in an RV, and ended up at Tanglewood, and my parents are both music teachers, so it was intentional to come here. And we happened to arrive here on the day that there was a concert with Leonard Bernstein conducting. Wow. And Midori was the soloist. And we bought lawn tickets. And so I stood at the back of the shed that night with my dad, and we watched the concert, and it turned out to be what has become this legendary concert with Midori.
Where
she was performing Bernstein's Serenade, and she was 14, I believe, and in the final movement broke her E string and traded violins with the concertmaster, as one does in that situation. Went from playing a three-quarter size violin to a full-size violin, and then a couple minutes later broke an E string again and traded again and played on a third violin. And, you know, this incredible artist, which, you know, she has continued to be, and flawlessly went through this incredible piece. So it was a very strange night, and I didn't realize until kind of more recently, you know, how legendary that concert had become, and I just reflected that I had been here.
Did you ever figure out why she was busting all those strings?
No, I never asked.
But it got her into the Kennedy Center, so good for her.
Holy cow, yeah.
Just honored this past year. So, and then you work here in what capacity?
I work for the Boston University Tanglewood Institute.
Oh, right.
As the librarian and assistant orchestra manager. At the time, and I loved it here. I got to engage with people, you know, really across the spectrum with the BSO and with the fellows. And I have to say, it was really here that I discovered that this was my right path in life.
Do you have a favorite restaurant?
Here? Nobody's let me out to eat yet.
Very politic.
Wait, do you have one I should know about?
Oh, I have many.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk.
Get a list. So let me just figure out how this works. But You are, I assume you are operating happily at the Los Angeles Philharmonic, and if you weren't, you don't have to tell me that. But if you're operating, and then what do they have to do, the BSO, do to woo you to say, oh, we would like you to come take over? Because as I was thinking of this, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but there are very few people in the world who know what this is like. Mark would be one of them. You would be one of them, and a handful of other people that do it at that level. So that's the market. So I would think they come to you and say, "This is what we're looking for," and are you at all interested? So what does it take then to say, "Yes, I'm interested"?
Yeah, it's a great question because it was not something I expected to happen or expected to do. And yes, as you said, you know, I was reached out to by the search committee and started, you know, agreed to have an initial conversation, and but was happy where I was and was doing interesting work and with an interesting organization, and just found that, frankly, the more with each conversation, I came out of the conversation being really energized. And excited about the possibilities. Mm. And I think, and some of that, I think, harkened back to my early days here and like just thinking about it. I think that got in my brain a little bit. But I found that the trustees that I was speaking to and everyone, as I have seen, as we were talking about with the staff, right, just so committed to this organization and so enthusiastic and so thoughtful about the future and what the possibilities might be. And so with an organization like this, where there is, as you said, there's the Boston Symphony and there's the Boston Pops and there's Tanglewood and there's the Tanglewood Music Festival, right. And now there's the Tanglewood Learning Institute. You know, there's this great range of activities to think about and think about what we want to do with them and what that looks like going forward. So that was really really thrilling to think about and but I will say odd to be thinking about doing that in the middle of a pandemic as well.
Is there a difference in the organizational or political structure of the two organizations that was of interest to you?
They're actually similarly structured. Though certainly the Hollywood Bowl and Tanglewood are very different beasts.
Right.
But this idea of having a really vibrant summer home and a really tremendous orchestra and those other, you know, and doing pops are parts of that. So that part of it was familiar to me.
Right.
And once you have that familiarity, you come in, I assume, with your own, you were talking about the pandemic, making that decision during a pandemic. But then now, as we, knock on wood, are coming out of it, it seems like that's not a bad time for you to say, okay, I'm here and we'll go through this together now.
Yeah, I think I got really lucky on the timing of this.
Right.
It's been a really, really hard year and 16 months for this organization, for where I was, for arts organizations, for everybody. And so as we're starting, you know, I was actually able to come in and have my first meetings with people like Bernadette face to face, and which nobody had done for such a long time, and it felt really great to do that. And so there is something about this moment of emergence aligning with when I'm starting that, you know, I met everybody on Zoom as I was making the decision to be here, but now to be actually not meeting everybody on Zoom is great and feels like a good moment.
Does anything get you angry?
Oh gosh, get me angry?
There's an Alan question for you.
Sure, things get me angry. I don't know where you're going with that question, Alan.
I'm not going anywhere. To tell you.
Hey, I'll ask a question. So, when you come on and you say, because I was thinking about this of what it is like, because under normal conditions, if there's a normal, I don't know that there is, but if there's a normal, and you start a new gig, you get you get into place, and then you figure out, you have a vision and you work with people and you move forward. But I would assume right now everything is sort of still kind of COVID related as to how you run the next couple of months of figuring all of that out, right? That's taking a lot of your time.
I think COVID related has become different, right? So COVID related was protocols and how are we going to be behaving, right? Health and safety, and how are we tracking all of that. That was a lot of what that was about, and I think in the middle of it was also about, you know, this organization figuring out how do we pivot and connect digitally with people, and did that really beautifully and really quickly. And I think now COVID related is, who do we want to be as we come out of this?
Right.
I think we're all personally and as organizations a bit changed by this. And so what does that mean for us going forward is the big question.
How are you welcomed into, is there initiation to get into the Berkshire Cultural Club where, you know, like Tina Packer calls you up and says, hey, welcome. Good good to see you.
I don't know yet. You tell me. I mean, I am meeting a lot of people. I think at the moment I've been focused on really the staff, and I got to stand in front of the orchestra for the first time yesterday and meet everybody.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Not meet, but, you know be
see.
Introduced
yes.
and say hello. Which was thrilling because it was the first rehearsal. It was at the start of the first rehearsal that they've had really sitting and looking like a normal orchestra, not masked and not 6 feet apart, since last March. So that was a wonderful moment to be there and have a chance to say hello. So and again, I everybody is just, walking up and saying hello and being very welcoming. So
Gail Samuel is our guest. She is the president and CEO of the Boston Symphony Orchestra and brand new to the role and joining us on our traveling roundtable this morning. For the average attendee, what do they need to know about what it involves now to come to Tanglewood?
Well, I having been here on 4th of July with the first live audience we've had here at Tanglewood in, I think it was 672 days.
But who's counting?
Who's counting? There are some things in place where, the shed is at 50% capacity, as is the lawn, so there is still some distance between people. Masks are by the CDC guidelines, so if people are not vaccinated, masking is recommended. But it also feels really kind of normal to come here and go to a concert and sit with other people, and which is really exciting.
Do you have what we used to call at Hunter College a knicker checker, or somebody who would leave some room between you and the next people who are sitting next to you? You have a policeman to make sure that people aren't infecting each other.
Well, I wouldn't put it that way. In the shed, certainly seats are assigned, and so people are sitting in those spaces.
I want somebody who has a job description as knicker checker, though. That would be pretty cool. Post that on Indeed.
That might make me angry. but no, on the lawn, look, I think the fact that we are holding to 50% capacity just gives more space for people to spread out. So, and there are, you'll see aisleways on the lawn this year to provide for more circulation. But other than that, I think people are, I expect will behave well.
The Berkshires are now replete with the marijuana. I mean, our little town of Great Barrington, where Roselle and I live, has, I think, seven places that disperse that stuff. Do you expect any changes in the way in which, the Tanglewood audience is considering all the marijuana that's...
Hey, Alan, she's coming from L.A.
Yeah, it's all pretty new, yeah.
Not Oregon, though.
No.
No. I'm just going to say no. I do not expect any changes related to that, Alan.
when it comes to the, I guess let me stay on that sort of on that vein. No, not really. Just East Coast, West Coast. That's all I've got.
Okay, okay.
This is as far as I'm going to go, I promise. But is there, you know, you think of a sensibility of a Los Angeles to Boston, and yes, they're major metropolitan centers on coasts, but is, I assume at the core of it, your audiences are essentially, at least demographically, similar.
I don't know yet. Actually, mm-hmm. I think is the answer to that. I think there are, you know, cultural differences. I think there are different sensibilities, I think just at the beginning of starting to recognize and understand those.
Right.
And I don't know. I haven't dug in enough yet here to understand really quite what the audiences look like. I think in terms of diversity and demographics, I'm not entirely sure yet.
But as far as just, again, and maybe this is a false notion that I have in my head, but I would assume that people that do the job that you did in Los Angeles, Mark, as I said, there's just a certain number of you that you must talk about, sort of talk shop as to how you run the various facilities. And of course, there's going to be differences, but the trends, they stay, you all deal with those, right? I mean, those are sort of universal, I would think.
Sure, I think there are themes that come out in our work and that we're all thinking about differently. I think certainly coming out of social justice issues over the past year, I think all arts organizations are thinking differently about how we relate to our communities and what that means. And where what it means is the same and where it should be different. And so those are a lot of questions that are top of mind for me of what does that look like here and who is the BSO as related to what the Boston community, the Berkshire community, and what that looks like. And I have a lot of learning to do, I think, on that topic.
Have you ever met Donald Trump?
No.
Thank you.
is when you look at the but as far as the artists go, yeah. And maybe even some of the musicians, I mean, those are similar people that you are working with and have relations with.
Sure. I mean
the superstars are the superstars.
Right. Yes. I mean, Maniacs is already
right.
Here, and Andres Nelsons is a new artist for me, which I'm very excited about getting to know him and working together. It's not someone I've worked with in the past.
Hmm. When it I look at the I think of having seen a couple of concerts at the Walt Disney Concert Hall. I mean, you that is a beautiful, gorgeous facility. And where were you in the opening of that?
I was working in LA at the time, when the hall opened.
Okay, so I mean, were you a part of that as it opened? Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
I mean, what an amazing achievement that must have been.
Yeah, it was very exciting. I mean, I think those moments of change and are really great times for an organization to evolve, and that was certainly one for the LA Phil. I think that, living in that Frank Gehry building, was really definitive for the organization.
Well, and it becomes a landmark in the city.
Yeah.
I mean, almost overnight, it becomes a landmark in the city.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, you have another one, the Hollywood Bowl, which is there and is an incredible place to see an orchestra.
Yeah, that's a 100-year-old venue now. And
really,
yeah,
that's fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah, very early in the history of Los Angeles, the Hollywood Bowl started, and it's a, you know, so different. I think about Tanglewood and I think about how different it is. It's kind of the same idea of a summer festival.
Outdoor.
But outdoor. The Hollywood Bowl is very urban and, right in the middle of the city. So you're hearing freeway noise every night and is fantastic that way. And Tanglewood is looking outside at the trees and the rain, and it's such a different feel. And I think plays a very different role in the life of the Boston Symphony.
When it comes to that role of the Boston Symphony, and as you look to explore that, I guess all that just sort of comes over time, right? I mean, it's not a conscious thing. You just, osmosis and saturation, right?
You mean for me?
Yeah, of learning this.
Yeah, I think, yes, I think it comes over time. I think the fact that I had some experience here gives me a sense of coming in of what happens here. And but I think the Tanglewood Music Center and having the fellows here every summer are a big part of that ecosystem and why it looks the way it does. And you know, also the fact that everybody has to move out here for the summer, right? It's not just the place you happen to go,
right?
You know, turning right instead of turning left on your way to work. It's very different. And so I am getting the sense that, you know, people's families are around and this is where they reside, and it becomes a very very tight, very friendly community.
So you, I believe, are the first woman who heads this organization, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, how important is that?
I think it's really important. I think representation matters, and I think particularly when I think about, you know, other young women imagining the possibilities, I think it's very important. I also look forward to the day where it's not a question.
Yeah, and but I assume you were also the first at LA too. Is that true?
President of the Hollywood Bowl. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. When you think of that role then in looking to work on all of these issues that are, so it doesn't become a question anymore, that, I mean, yes, it takes leadership and certainly people like yourself to do that, but it also takes a willingness on our culture and society that we have, but we have to lead that, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it is, I believe it's a responsibility of, you know, the Boston Symphony is a big organization,
right?
You know, in,
yes,
Boston and in the country. And so I do think it's a responsibility to think about those issues and take them on as our own.
And yet it's another thing that arts can do,
yeah,
which is pretty wonderful.
Absolutely.
Is there been a point, was it 3.5 weeks or whatever that you've been on board? Is there a point,
two and a half,
yeah. I'm sorry. Is there a point where you like, you're asking, oh Jesus, this is all mine now. Like this is, I'm in charge of this. Oh God.
You know, it's not quite exactly that. I think I still am having these moments where I think, oh, I'm really here. Like I, you know, I did this. I, you know, made this decision and took this on, and it's thrilling. And it's a lot. I think, you know, that for me, I was at the LA Phil a long time, so I'm very used to sticking around in a place and doing the work. The part that is new for me is the meeting everybody. So
yeah.
I'm in the throes of that.
Well, if it gets too overwhelming, I hear there are 7 pot shops in Great Barrington, so go to it. Gail Samuel, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the program, to meet you, and to have you here, to welcome you to your new home. And what a great honor and pleasure to have you here.
Thank you both so much. It's a
Thank
pleasure.
Thank you. Great pleasure to have you here. Well, Alan, we are, we got to go, unfortunately. It's not easy leaving Tanglewood, but we need to vacate our space so the geniuses can return to make stunning music for the 2021 season.
Sincere thanks to all the guests who joined us this morning, and special thanks to our friend Gail Samuel for hosting us. Also, many thanks to Tanglewood's Bernadette Horgan, Matthew Erickson for their production assistance. It's been a wonderful time here at Camp Tanglewood, as usual.
Camp Tanglewood. Special thanks to Alan Chartok for his leadership in musical mischief, Rob Chacon, our on-site engineer, and to Mike Bowen back home making the master mix. Kudos to our producer, Sarah LaDuke. The Roundtable returns on Monday back in the studio with a panel. Until then, have a beautiful and safe weekend. Find out more about Tanglewood at tanglewood.org. Stay tuned now for Midday Magazine with Jim Boudoul.